We're not writing their story, we're discovering it.
Welcome to Diary of the Mom Squad with Kate and Brittany. Tune in for insights into the hilarious, heartfelt, and often chaotic world of motherhood, where no one has everything figured out and we all need a whole lot of Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee, take a break, and join this crazy journey together. This is Diary of the Mom Squad, where moms connect, support, and thrive.
This month on Diary of the Mom Squad, we're joined by Julia Brander. She's the mother of five, the director of New Life Birth Services, and a certified professional midwife. Julia, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
So tell us about your family.
Okay, my joy. So I have five children. Well, first, I'm married to my very best friend. We've been married for a little over 25 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And he is truly, and I don't take it for granted, my favorite person in the world.
Oh, so, I love that.
Very thankful for that. And then we have five children, our oldest. So we have 22, 20, 18, 16, and 11.
Wow.
Which is a huge undertaking. Let me just say, I've got a blended family with five kids. So hats off to you. It's, like five is a lot.
It is a lot. It's so fun and loud.
It's always different, too, like parenting the 11-year-old versus like how do you parent the like adult kids now, too, and like deal with that whole situation all at the same time.
Yes. I do apologize to my oldest children a lot. Like, sorry, guys, you were the first.
We didn't know
the little guinea pigs along the way.
That's right.
Totally understand.
So you are a midwife and or a doula. Is there a difference between the two, a midwife and a doula?
I get that question a lot. So there's more differences than there are similarities, though we are both, you know, I am both. I am a certified midwife and a certified doula, but I don't do both of the roles at the same time.
Okay.
You know, my doula skills and training do go into me as a midwife. I do that, but my midwifery does not transfer over as a doula.
Okay.
Because doulas are really trained in just helping emotional, mental, just strategic, positional things. Anything external, like a labor coach, but also an expert on the labor process as far as education and helping somebody be with them. And a midwife does all of those things and is trained in all of those things. But as a midwife, I am clinically responsible for everything internal and your health and your vitals and keeping you and your baby healthy and safe. And as a doula, you should not be doing anything internal or giving any medical advice. That's out of the scope of a doula to say, I recommend you blah, blah, blah. No, you shouldn't. I recommend you talk to your midwife. That's what the doula should say.
So. Or your doctor.
Or your doctor. Absolutely. Your care provider.
Right. Gotcha. That's cool. I did not know that there was a difference.
Mm-hmm. So what is the primary difference then? Because I've heard this question too through the years between a midwife and say an OBGYN or somebody that practices on that side of things. What does that look like?
It's so, I'm sure you guys, because your moms are familiar with the book, There's Room on the Feather Bed for All of Us. I don't, that book, Oh, it's so good.
Add it to your list. It's really good.
There's room on the feather bed for all of us. I think about that in maternity care. Like there's room for every different role in the big picture. So, but to answer your question, an obstetrician is one of the main differences. An obstetrician can do surgery.
Okay.
I mean, their scope is way broader than midwifery care. And so high risk moms, babies, pregnancies, should be underneath an obstetrician.
So I had an obstetrician because I ended up with three C-sections, and that was the only way I could go with that.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I was sad because I wanted a midwife experience.
So I actually, you know, some people will say, well, obstetricians don't give individualized care like midwives. I actually don't agree with that because I have obstetrician colleagues who give awesome individualized care. And it's, you know, and obstetricians and midwives alike both believe in the beauty of birth and those sort of things. Yeah. But the main difference is the scope of practice is a lot broader. And OBs went to medical school and then they also specialized in other things. Yeah. So midwives, just the scope of practice is limited to, well, my scope of practice is very limited to healthy moms and healthy babies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Hospital midwives can go a little bit outside of that.
Okay. And that's the thing a lot of people I don't think realize is you can go to the hospital and still have a midwife or a doula with you mm-hmm. at the hospital. Mm-hmm. You don't have to necessarily choose between the two, basically.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Which mm-hmm. I think is great. I think that women have so many choices now about what yes. their birthing experience is going to look like. Yes. It's not just, you know, if you've ever watched Call the Midwife on TV oh, yeah. or any of that. Like, sometimes I think about that era of medicine where it was like, this is how it was done and this is the only way it was done and you have no choice. And, you know, and that show is so fun to watch because you can see all the different nuances of medicine mm-hmm. as it changed through the years. But, yeah, the misconception about birthing that people have before they go through it. Do you mm-hmm. see that a lot in your practice as a midwife and kind of have to re-educate people? What does that look
yes,
like?
Absolutely. I think, you know, in our culture, birth generally is looked at as a dangerous medical condition. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is that. But in essence, it's really not. Like, that's not how it starts for most people. But I do think people come in with that preconception,
sure.
and then it's kind of like a narrative they tell themselves or the culture tells them, oh, you can't. And especially for me, who I'm a certified midwife who works in an out-of-hospital setting, mm-hmm. for people to be like, what? You can't do that. And I'm like, well, no, actually, it's very clinical. I mean, but I think I try to invite people into kind of putting on a different perspective about pregnancy and birth. And no matter what people believe about creation, evolution, that sort of thing, if birth needed to change, it would have changed over the hundreds and hundreds
right.
and hundreds of
right.
years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just hasn't. Other right. things in our world have
yes.
adapted and changed, but that process hasn't.
Yeah.
So there's something in it that works innately.
Right.
And so I just try to encourage people to educate themselves on what is the process of birth
yes.
and what does my body actually do on its own?
Yes. Yeah.
That then can help me believe that, oh, I actually don't have to highly control it or highly
right.
yeah. medicalize it unless I do. So I do try to just invite people
yeah.
into just, hey, well, maybe take a look at this, or what do you think about this? Or really what I do, and I did this in the class,
yes.
Brittany, was, what's your birth philosophy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you believe to be true about birth, and why do you believe that?
That's mm-hmm. interesting, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember being scared. I didn't even want to take the class. I just wanted to go into it blind, and my husband was like, absolutely not. We're
oh,
taking some
funny.
Classes. And I was like, okay, fine. So we went to our first class, and I just remember thinking, like, people do this all the time. There are people, like, in third world countries that give birth with no medical care whatsoever and have babies,
yeah.
healthy babies, and they're fine. And I was like, so maybe I can do this. And then going through the class and you explaining, like, how our bodies are naturally, like, designed mm-hmm. to do this really empowered me. And I always thought, like, I'm going to get an epidural. It's going to be so painful. But then you explained, like, the chemical side effects of the epidural and mm-hmm. how it kind of, like, slows down birth and things. And I was like, well, maybe I don't need to do that. Maybe I can, like, actually prep my body mm-hmm. and prepare my body. And then, you know, I know a lot of times you have to end up getting one, or, like, things happen
sure.
and, like, things change. But I was able to deliver my first child naturally. She was 8 pounds, 10 ounces. She was
Woo-hoo,
a big baby.
Girl, nice
but,
and healthy.
I mean, I feel like I was so much more confident going into the process and knowing I didn't have to, like, rush to the hospital necessarily, and that I could take my time, and, like, that things could progress as they're supposed to. I think just being calm helped. Like, I mean, it was something, like, simple. Like, we didn't use the, like, fluorescent lights in the hospital room. We turned the lights off and we had lights up and we played, like, ocean sounds. And I only had my husband in the room because he talked about stress making it harder on the body. And I didn't want anybody that stressed me out in the room with me. And, like, really, like, those simple, they seem so simple, but you don't think about them unless you talk to somebody who tells you about these
yeah.
things.
Well, and I think that education process is so important, right? You think in the century that we are in now that there would be so much more, and there is more readily available information. But I think sometimes, I don't know, maybe as women, we just kind of are like right over the head, like we don't think about it. I know that it wasn't necessarily, you know, when I started having kids 18 years ago, it was not as common to talk about the practice of birthing, even 18 years ago. And I just think about all the things that changed from having my first child to even just a few years later having my youngest, and they're not that far apart. It's only four years, but I just thought the process in that 4 years was so enlightening to me. And it's interesting to see kind of in that birthing education process as we've gone through the years, maybe what women do know now versus what they didn't before. But there's still a lot of questions around it. Mm-hmm. For instance, what can a midwife provide that is not necessarily found traditionally at the hospital?
You know, I don't. So the way I would answer that question is midwifery outside of the hospital. I'll just tell you how it's different.
Sure.
You know, what are the differences? Yeah. Yeah. Like, what does care with me look like?
Yeah.
So I have the privilege of giving individualized extended time with my, we call them clients, but I mean, with my patients.
Yeah.
So I only take a small number of clients every month. And so my prenatal visits with them, the schedule is very similar, is exactly the same as if you were having your baby in the hospital, but we have hour-long visits. You know, they come in, I check on them and their baby, and I can offer all the labs that they do in a hospital setting. We do all of the same sort of things. I don't have an on-site ultrasound, but I refer those out, all of that. But we talk about, because it's, I approach it as a holistic thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I do clinically ask all the questions. How are things going physically? What are you thinking about? What are the things that are coming to your mind the most? Mm-hmm. And then I have a list every visit of different topics that we'll cover that are in preparation for the next kind of upcoming events type of things in pregnancy. So I am privileged to have that. I have a small clientele so that I can hopefully make all their births. Mm-hmm. And but I'm the one that's reading their labs and I'm reading their ultrasound. And so I can offer that relational level. It's not like we're BFFs. That's, I mean, you know, but they have access to me.
Yeah.
And I really love that. I'm really thankful for that because I think birth is more than just popping out babies. You know, it just is so much more. And so being able to handle families holistically is my favorite part.
Yeah.
You also offer, like, or explain to us in the classic stretches and things that you can do and, like, things that my husband could do if I'm having contractions, like, just to help out. And I feel like going through, like, the process in the hospital and, like, through, like, a normal doctor's visit, like, none of that's covered. They don't tell you, like, oh, if you're feeling pain here, you can do this or, you know, adjust this. And so I felt like that was beneficial, too, just knowing that there were things that I could do on my own to help if I'm, like, feeling a certain way during my pregnancy or, like, to prepare, you know, for birth and stretching out the pelvic area and things like that.
I do. I try to, like, be a catalyst. Like, you know, I'm not with my clients when they go home or afterwards, but my goal is literally to unlock strength in families. That's what I'm not the strength. I'm not the answer to them. I'm just not. And my goal is that if they might believe, like, wait a second, I actually, even like with first time moms, they're like, I don't know anything. I'm like, well, no, actually you do. You might not think you know all the knowledge, but in you is intuition and understanding. Believe that. And follow those questions. Like, I'm kind of pulled towards this, like you did, Brittany. Like, I'm curious about, well, maybe I don't. Oh, well, maybe, you know, you take it. That is, we know as moms, like, if you can believe in that little knowing inside of you, then that will carry you in confidence a lot in postpartum and in mother. So I really believe in that. So I'll be like, hey, what are things you're thinking about to prepare for labor, or how involved
right
is
now
your,
I'm just scared because I was like nervous before because I didn't know what to expect, and then like going through the classes really like calmed me down and prepared me. But now that I've gone through it and knowing what it feels like, I think the closer I get, the more I'm like, oh, this is happening.
I was going to ask you, are you more nervous this time around because you've experienced, like, how do you feel about that
right now? I think I'm more nervous this time around only because I had such a great birth experience the first time. Mm-hmm. And I know that is not true for many moms, especially first-time pregnancies and first-time births. And I just don't see it going I don't see how it could go smoother than that. And so I think I'm nervous now about things going wrong, I guess. And like the pain, of course, because now I know what it feels like. So I'm like anticipating that.
But also your body knows how to do the work.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
You've already been through it one time and you know what to expect.
That's
I even
true.
Think about that in my experience where I ended up with 3 C-sections,
yeah.
which was not at all in my original birth plan. That wasn't what I wanted. But sure. I had complicated pregnancies right. and there ended up being some more high risk involved with different things. And it ended up being what God needed my body to do at the
That's
time.
Right.
And it literally saved my daughter's life and in that C-section
awesome.
Opportunity. So, right. I, you know, it is. But you, your body has been through it. You'll be surprised, I think, when you get to
so.
The next point. And every pregnancy is different.
Yeah.
I mean, even my last when sweet Aiden was born, I knew I was having a C-section at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It was scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, mark it on the calendar. We know how this goes.
Right.
Well, my water broke a week and a half early, and I went into instantaneous labor
yes.
with, I mean, instant contractions. Like, he was already descending into the birth canal by the time we got to the,
wow.
and
yeah.
so it was an emergency C-section that we had at that point. But your body knows,
yeah.
and you know, and you're a strong person. Like,
Thank
I've just
you.
Seen you do so many really amazing things with your body in general and even carrying another child. So it's going to be fine. It'll be fine.
I hope so.
Typically what I tell my second time moms is those are the babies, the deliveries that I miss the most.
Really?
If I miss a birth, it's often going to be a second birth
okay.
because, which I don't hardly miss a
right,
birth
right,
ever,
right.
but I'm just saying because you're thinking, oh, surely this can't be as intense because it was 8 or 9 hours my first, or 15 hours my
right.
first. And so you're like, oh, surely it's sure. And then you're like, oh, shoot. Like, I don't have to poop. I have to push out a baby. Like, you know,
right
what's going on? So really, statistically speaking,
yes. Yes.
you know, you have a tried pelvis now. And
yeah.
like
yeah,
you were saying,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
what it's called.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's so much. And again, I think that's some cultural, though.
Yeah.
Like, remind yourself, what do I believe to be true about birth? What do I know to be
true?
You just hang your, you know, hat on yeah. those same things.
And
know?
We're lucky enough to be women of faith. And like, we know that God created us to do this. And so how does like your knowledge of creation and things like that and your faith play into your role as a midwife and a doula?
You know, I think so much. I mean, I just look, I walk outside every day. I love nature.
Yeah,
I really literally, you know,
yeah.
maybe lots of us do. We love nature. And I think that's creation. And I'm also a part of creation. And nobody's telling these birds and trees and, you know, clouds what to do. I mean, you know, God has set it into motion.
Sure. Right.
And then sometimes we need supports to help it. Right.
Right.
Same thing. I think about our bodies is, you know, something has God has set this into motion and he's given support when needed, like with your belly bursts.
Yes.
We refer them to.
I like that. That's
yeah.
That sounds better. Than
I know.
It is. I mean, you birthed your baby.
Thank you.
It's
I appreciate
really
that.
Amazing. So I think about it like that and just the trust and the belief in the processes that are, I just think God sets things into motion and they've worked and they work. And when we need other supports, then I feel like he provides those interventions and we can access them. But to try to control it on the front end in life in general usually doesn't work. So
that's true.
That's kind of my thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Well, and to your earlier point, if there had been another way that this needed to be done eventually, it would have changed probably.
Changed.
And yet God's design from the very beginning has been so good and so great that it's been the way it's been done for centuries and centuries and centuries. So, yeah.
And you talked about needing other support. So if you have a doula or a midwife and you want to give birth at home, what happens if, you know, during birth there is a complication? Is then like, do you like rush them to the hospital? Like, what does that look like for somebody who's thinking about maybe doing a home birth?
Yeah. I mean, it's I like to think of one of my hats that I wear as a home birth out of hospital midwife is I'm a Hawkeye. Like, I'm Hawkeye in those labors. And again, like I said before, I have one patient in labor. I am with one person in labor. Okay. So I'm monitoring the baby and the mom the whole time, listening to baby's heart tones, checking in. And, you know, typically it's not, I mean, there are emergent things that happen, but I am trained in all of the emergency situations, not to say that crazy things don't happen. But typically with healthy moms and healthy babies, you have a realm of emergencies that I can handle and stabilize while we're transferring to the hospital.
Gotcha.
But a lot of it is preventative. If I'm curious about something because I'm tethered to physiology, like tethered to normal mm-hmm. in pregnancy and labor, so that when we get outside of that a little bit, I pay attention, try to bump it back into mm-hmm. the normal and physiology with some normal position change, maybe an IV, give the mom some honey, get out of the hot shower, like whatever mm-hmm. those types of things are. Well, if we keep kind of going outside of that physiology, I'm not waiting long to be able to say, hey, I'm not comfortable staying yeah. here. Let's go access
right.
a place where we might need more
sure.
things. If it's a situation where I'm like, no, we actually need more things now, I just call an ambulance. We hop on that truck. I've already talked to, you know, labor and delivery. It's Julia. Here's what I mean. I'm colleagues with them. We have mm-hmm. respect.
Right.
They're like, okay, we'll be ready. And they are.
And
they
I receive love that. Because I feel like there's a lot of, like, misconception about that, too, about, like, oh, you have to, like, be in the hospital with the OBGYN or you have to do it home birth with a midwife instead yeah. of there being, like, this nice harmony between the two and everyone like working together.
It is that. Yeah. I can't offer safe care unless I have collaboration with right. people whose scope is bigger than mm-hmm. me. Because birth can be really crazy and unpredictable. Mm. And we're talking about people's lives here.
Yeah.
Like my job, I had somebody say this to me, it was so great. You know, my job is not to give you the birth of your dreams as a midwife.
Right.
Like, you know, it's just really not.
Right.
It's not the twinkle lights and the music and
right.
all that. That is wonderful. But my job is actually to keep you and your baby alive.
Right. Yeah.
So I take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. And I can do that safely.
Yeah.
I carry medications. I carry oxygen. I carry IV. I don't need to use those often. But if I do, then I'm trained and ready to use them. But I also have access to people who can do that. I mean, we
right.
just,
right.
you know, in a good relationship. I will say here, I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah.
The birthing hospital and the birthing staff is fabulous, and they're welcoming. And most of the time they say to me, well, all the time they say to my client, I'm sorry you're here. I know that's not what you wanted,
right.
but we're
yeah.
going to, you know, take
do the
care.
Best we yeah. can. Yeah.
And so it just feels like safer that
yeah,
way. It's
that
not, no animosity.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's great. What are some things that you would say to like first time moms or moms getting ready to have their second, third, fourth child to just prepare their bodies and their minds mentally to get ready for that birth?
I think really understanding the labor process, like reading a book or take a birth class.
Yes, I agree. I will second that because it really changed my whole perspective on birthing. So,
it does matter what type of birth class you're taking, though. I mean, you don't
right.
want, you know, it's just one that what is the physiology of birth and why should what is good to know about that? And then just really getting used to movement is mm-hmm. really important. Even if you're planning to choose to utilize medication, that's great. Just
yeah.
totally fine. But up until you will need to labor before that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yes.
You know,
yeah.
or you probably needed comfort measures when
yes.
your body said, okay, psych, you know.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Go
we're going
right
into this.
Now.
Yeah.
So I think no matter what, because birth and our life is a lot tied to our central nervous system. What is, like, when you're in labor, your body's going to be releasing all this hormone, and that's all central nervous system. But you can calm and breathe,
mm-hmm.
and it just helps
mm-hmm.
the process
yeah.
unfold.
Yeah, the breathing
and experience
really
yeah.
helped, and, like, remembering to just stay calm, like, because your body wants to panic. Like, I wanted to panic, but I was like, no, I don't need to panic.
You don't need to.
This is what's supposed to
that's
happen.
Right.
Deep breaths, like, just chill. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And one of the things, though, that was really comical for me is they were transferring me to, like, the delivery room. And I was in the wheelchair, and a nurse walks in, and she's like, we need that wheelchair. And I'm, like, mid-contraction.
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, give me a second. So I'm, like, trying to get out of the wheelchair.
Wow.
And that was, like, the one thing that really
you
stuck out.
You got kicked right out of that wheelchair.
Like, all right, I'm getting up. Hold on. 1 second. But that was, like, the one thing that was pretty comical. And I didn't talk the whole time. It was just, like, mm-hmm. the deep guttural
right.
breathing. And then as soon as the baby came out, I would not stop talking. And my
aww.
Husband was like, these people probably think you have, like, a personality
that's
disorder.
So awesome.
It's just the adrenaline
that's
and the
right.
rush of it all. Like, once you're finally through it, like, But I did find out, like, the ring of fire, like, actually pushing really hurts. Didn't yep. expect that. Yeah. I mean, I knew from, like, talking about it in class, but I was like, oh, no, once the baby's, like, crowning, like, that's the easy part, the pushing. And then I was like, nope.
The intensity of that.
Right.
The intensity.
Yeah.
Is, right. So. I like to say to people, like, what are some mantras that you can tell yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not in danger, I'm in labor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, because there is nothing like that sort of intensity. There's no words that you can prepare. Right. And when you're in it, you're like, something could be really wrong here.
Because, yeah, right.
I don't know. That. But no, I'm not in danger. And if I am, I've got people around me to help me know that and take care of me.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I think sometimes when you're in the middle of something that feels intense and feels like chaotic like that, what a good thing. Like, you're not in danger, you're in labor. But to know that you have a team that you can depend on that can, like, it sort of takes the responsibility off your shoulders a little bit.
But really, if you can mentally tell your body, like, we don't need to panic right now.
Yes.
Like, we're in a safe place. We're surrounded by people who care for us. We're going to be okay.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah.
Then it kind of, like, changes your body's response to that kind of fear.
Well, and the beautiful thing, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're great.
Okay. I was just going to say the beautiful thing too about birth is it doesn't just end when the baby is born.
Right.
Like, that's a process that continues in the healing of our bodies and, you know, that whole postpartum situation.
Yes.
And I don't think that part is talked about enough in our birthing circles a lot. What would you recommend for women who don't know a whole lot about the postpartum experience? Maybe this is their first child, or maybe it just they forgot about it the first time
and
around.
They just tell you too, they're like, 6 weeks, your body's healed, so you're fine.
Yeah,
but
no.
Like, no. That is not. Like, you might be okay to do X, Y, and Z, but you are not okay after 6 weeks.
I mean, it's the same belief, like, the culture says a certain thing about postpartum.
Yeah.
And truthfully, postpartum is the longest period of this whole process.
Yes.
It's longer than pregnancy. Mm-hmm. It's way longer than birth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you have to just even have that mindset. And then it's individualized. Like, sure, around 6 weeks, there are things physically in your body that are usually healed that are no longer bleeding in a certain way, or this, or you, it's safe to go back to some exercise that's not going to cause some other damage or something like that. But how you're doing emotionally, mentally, all of those sort of things, just individualized. So I think I would say reading books, but have a team. Like, what's your, you know, what who do you have postpartum, you know, that you could tap into to check in on you, check with you, that sort of thing. And then I think for women, you know, throw away all these preconceptions of, I'm going to jump right back. This is this is an isolated time.
Yes.
You have an opportunity to slow down. And if you don't, it can be really, it can prolong the emotional and mental pain.
I struggled with that extensively after my first was born. And again, I think I was also going through some of that birth disappointment because I ended up with a C-section and that wasn't my plan and, you know, all this stuff. But I had a very extensive journey with postpartum depression because of a lot of things. It was chemical imbalance, but it was also just my disappointment in how things were going. It was the hard situation I was living in at home, you know. But I felt very isolated. And even though I had my mom that I could call on the phone, she wasn't, like, physically present in town at that point in time. But I still just felt like something in me was like, no, you got to do this by yourself. And you got to, like, show everybody you're strong.
Right.
And you
got
to. And that was the biggest lie that I could have believed in that moment in time, that I had to do it by myself and be this, like, put together woman, you know, just weeks after giving birth. So, yeah, I don't know. It's important to talk about that
you're
season.
You're so vulnerable
for sure.
In that period.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, you can't even prepare for how sensitive or vulnerable you're going to be. It's not a weak thing. It's just a reality.
Right.
You just birthed a human.
Yes.
Like,
and you don't even know how to keep it alive.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what do I do with it now? They're like, 2 days in the hospital, see you
like,
later.
Well,
it's
see
yours.
Later.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay.
I will say that's another thing I'm really privileged to do. I take care of my moms, and I'm certified to take care of my moms and the babies for 6 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
so,
I visit them 24 to 48 hours after their baby's born. Then I go to them at a week, and then I offer a 2-week, 4-week, 6-week visit. And a lot of that, you know, typically around 6 weeks is when I see more postpartum depression peaking, you know, and that's when they're out of care.
Yes.
And right. So that's just important for our community to know, but for moms to know, like, if you're feeling off, you just reach out.
Yes.
To, there's great online, Postpartum Virginia is a great website, International, Postpartum International. Like, there are some of those sort of things, but I think trying to take care of your body holistically, like, remember, if you're not able to do, like, the hierarchy of need, are you eating, sleeping, and able to take care of yourself regularly? If you don't do those things, you're not going to do well in postpartum.
Right.
But if you're not doing those things, it's an indicator that maybe you're dealing with some depression.
Yeah.
If you're like, I've eaten a granola bar today.
Right.
Yeah.
But I wasn't hungry.
Right.
Yeah. Because there's, just paying attention. Your body's going to tell you what's going on, you know, so just paying attention to
this. And also encouraging those family members to stand with the mother in that, because I think I got a lot of shame, for lack of a better term, from, you know, my partner at the time. And part of that is probably just his lack of education in it as well, in addition to his personality. And so there was just a lot of that, like, experience in my home where I felt like I had to be buttoned up and zipped up and everything, you know. But I remember crying with joy the first day that I, like, got a shower, and, you know, Christian was taken care of all day long, and I put food on the table, like, for everybody. That was like, I mean, I literally cried, like, with joy the first day that I accomplished that because it felt like such a big task that I had done. And then I remember my husband at the time making fun of me for it. And I was like, but I was so proud of myself moment, you know.
It is remembering, too, to celebrate those little moments. I remember for me just getting out of the house for the first time was like, oh, this is normal. Like, we can still live our lives with the baby. She's part of our life now. Like, we can still go out. Like, we just went
and
to the mall.
You guys have
and
done
a
really good job.
But we realized, like, I think for me, that was the first time I felt like I'm still me. I'm still a human being, like,
that's
individually.
Right.
But now I'm a mom. But, like, she gets to come with us to do things now. And so that first time walking around the mall, just eating a soft pretzel, pushing her in the stroller, I was like, we're doing it. We're actually doing it.
And that's a big deal. Yeah.
What I was going to say, and you just touched on it again about the postpartum and partner, I do think it's really important if there's a partner involved for them to be educated in the birth process and postpartum as well.
Yes.
Because cortisol is our stress hormone. And if we are being stress activated by the people who are our partners, that's going to make it a lot harder postpartum and pregnancy-wise, and pregnancy and birth. But, I mean, in those times, if you're saying, most women say, like, I don't think I can do this. I think I'm dying.
Yeah.
Okay. So if a partner hears that and they're not like, oh, yes, this is normal.
Right.
And I have... They're like, okay, you need to, like, get you this. Let's get out of here. They're freaking out. They're, you know, it's just really a mess.
That's why I was really thankful. My husband came to the classes with me and encouraged us to even go to the classes because I was like, I'd rather not know. Ignorance is bliss kind of thing. But after the classes, I felt so much better. And then he was able to kind of, like, take on that role of almost like a doula for me and, help me and know what I needed at the time. And he was secretly behind my back asking if I could still have an epidural just in case I needed it. And I was like, I'm glad you didn't tell me that. But I appreciate him, you know, just having the wherewithal to be like, you know, in case she wants one
later. Well, he wanted to advocate for you.
Right. Yeah. Like, can she have one? Where are we at in this process? How long is too long for her to be stalled at this point? You know, and it was nice to have him there so I could just focus on, like, responding to my body and not have to worry about, like, anything else. That was huge for me.
That's awesome. And I think, too, your experience this time around is going to be just as beautiful because now you've experienced parenthood together extra step that you're taking. I mean, it's not to say it's not going to still be overwhelming. Like, you're allowed to be overwhelmed.
Yes.
That's okay. But grace for the moment, like, you're going to get through this one just like you did the first one too.
Yes. And now you guys both have multiple kids. So I'm gleaning knowledge here from this. Like, what do you think something that God has taught you about parenting your children, like, individually and kind of, like, as a whole, as, like, a family?
That's a wide open question.
I honestly, my husband Matt and I have always said, we got to the point where like we're not writing their story, we're discovering it.
Oh, that's so good.
It's just really helpful, because we're responsible moms. We want to do the best.
Right.
We want to control.
Right.
We want to make. But I'm like, wait. Hold. I mean, one of those was me trying to force my second born into piano and and he's musical. Like he's now 20. Musician in Tennessee, like all those things. But I was like, you have to, come on, you should do it. And he would have panic attacks every time he would go to this recital. Aww. And I was like, wait, maybe I can listen to them.
Yeah.
Maybe I could listen and releasing that and those kind of things. Like, oh, let me discover. Let me be a good steward of these little humans. That's a big deal for me. And I have to remind myself, even as I have adult children now, that's a big thing for us, individualized. And then for another thing we tried to say was, celebrate them individually, and not make for us, and this isn't all families, we didn't all have to do everything.
Right.
Like, all have to go play Pokemon, all have to play soccer, all have to do ballet.
Right.
But we would have some family gatherings, but it's okay. We would, what did we say? We would divide to delight in. If Matt's going to take
I just Isaiah, need a book full of your one-liners.
Like, those are both great. Like,
this is freeing. Yeah. Like, oh, my gosh, how am I going to take five little kids?
Yes,
And nobody, they don't all like it.
Right,
and it's
right.
like misery,
Yeah.
But we would all watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse together, and that was really
fun. Because who doesn't want to do the hot dog dance at the end?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm doing that right now, like every day, basically, so I'm in that.
That was great. Yeah. So those were some things for us.
Yeah, that's really good.
No, I'd agree with that. I think the understanding that each child is distinctly different and they're born with different personalities and there may be, things that feel the same with certain types of things. I mean, you're growing up in the same environment, right? Like there is some outside environmental things that affect certain things, but my kids could not be more different in their personalities, like at all. And there's, again, the similarities there, but even in their teenager and now young adult years, yes, to your point, there still is a lot of parenting that is happening in these young adult years with my older and then the teenagers, and more than I thought there would be when I was doing the like baby and toddler and preschool age. I was like, okay, yeah, they need me now, but then it's going to be like, they're going to be released,
Right.
And they are to an extent, sure. right? You want your kids to be able to stand on their own two feet and be able to do life without being tethered completely to you all the time. But the understanding that even as they grow in different seasons, you're going to see nuances of personality change in the different seasons of life even. And that was hard for me as a mom when I was coming up because, I mean, I'll just be the first one in the room to raise my hand and say control was an issue for me in my early parenthood life. Like I was like, no, it has to be like this and it's got to be, and to feel successful, I felt like the box had to be closed a certain way, and God is so good at being like, we're going to take that one off the road and just take it in a different scenario. But I think for me, letting go of even who I was individually, not in terms of like not letting myself go and not having an identity, but letting go of who I thought I had to be in the moment. And, surrender is a huge part of parenthood. And I think the more I have surrendered to Jesus and what his purpose is in my life, it allows me to be a little bit more free in my parenting with my kids, too. Yeah. And they're starting to see that, too. I mean, I just even yesterday had a really hard conversation with my 16-year-old daughter. And, she was trying to make some decisions about some things. And I'm like, I would love to sit here and tell you that this is the game plan and this is how it works. But like, it's important for her in that moment to work through it and to understand what's going on with my emotions and what's going on with my wants and desires. And well, what are the ramifications if I choose this versus this? She's got to work through that herself, too, even though there are moments where I'm like, I can see the writing on the wall and I know it should be this, but to each their own. And you're going to learn that, too. And boys and girls are different. And, there's just it's a lot of fun, I think, too, to watch your kids grow up and just become the little humans that they're meant to be. So, but grace, surrender, surrender, surrender.
The other thing I will add, and I think about this as a midwife, I think about it in a lot of areas, like the role for me, what I've had to learn has been freeing in my mothering of lots of kids, but is that my role isn't everything for my kids. I'm not meant to be everything for them. I'm not, that's not what God intended. That's just not possible.
Yes.
As a midwife, I am not meant to be everything for my clients. I am meant to fill that role. And as a mom, I will often, when I get that flurry of like anxiety, like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And like, God reminds me like, hey, I got it. I got it. Like, what could it not be that I am positioning other people in their life? And I have seen that over and over, like dropping kids off at college and then being like, oh no. And then I'm like, oh, wait, God, would you maybe intervene and provide, you know, and then I get a message 3 hours later. Oh, we've been making music all night. It's been so great. And I'm like, of course. Of course. So remembering that, or like when I put my kids, when my kids started going to school and I thought, God, you're going to bring people in their lives that are going to help meet their needs. I'm not the only one.
I don't have to.
Right. And so when that lie, like you're failing because they're not speaking and they're three or whatever, you know, like whatever things we just beat our head. Like maybe I shouldn't have let them look at my phone or it's like, oh my gosh, seriously. Yep. How about just like, okay, God help me know what the needs are and what I'm supposed to meet, and then how can I position them for, you know, to receive. That's just, you know, maybe
it continues to teach our kids the reliance that we have to have on God anyway, right? Because if they see that vulnerability and transparency in us and that we don't have it all together at all moments of every single day, it encourages them in their hearts that they can also go to Jesus and they can also ask for what they need and that he is the God who provides for us. You know, I think of that so many times. I mean, what a lot of pressure it takes off of our shoulders if we can just be mindful of the fact that it isn't all up to us to make everything right.
That's been my biggest thing now in the phase that I'm in because my kids are so young. Well, Stella and the one coming. but they're so young. And so my biggest thing now is like just fear, like when they're not with me, that they're going to get hurt or something's going to happen. And just surrendering that to God and being like, as much as I'm like worried about it and wanting to protect them, like you're a God who protects and like keeps us safe. Like, and I know that you love them more than I love them. So I need to like let even something that simple go. And it's funny because mealtime now is like the biggest thing. And you were talking about like, I want to check this box off and be like, I'm successful because she ate all her lunch or she ate all her dinner. And that has been the biggest thing. And my husband is like, you're making everybody miserable because you're so stressed out about her eating or not eating or getting like a mess. Like things can be cleaned up and maybe she's not super hungry right now. Like she's three, like, it's okay. He's like, it's okay, Brittany. Like, she's going to eat when she wants to eat.
Yes.
She's not going to starve if she doesn't finish her dinner or her lunch. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I need to, like, let go of that control.
My father is so good about reminding me of this. He's a pediatric nurse practitioner. We've had him on the podcast before. But he was always like, Kate, no child is going to starve themselves. Like, they will eat when they're hungry. It's okay. Like, kids are not innately going to just be like, I'm never eating again. Like, that's that's not how it works. And he was so good at reminding me when they were in those, like, harder toddler, early preschool, elementary years that, like, okay, so sometimes the meal looks a little crazy and sometimes it looks like on the go and, you know, it just looks different. But he said, your kid is still fed. They're still being taken care of. Like, as long as you were saying, like, those external factors of of notifications that tell you that something is not right, as long as those aren't coming up, your kid is fine.
You know, the whole, I remember as a young mom with young kids, everybody, this pressure of your kids should like everything. You should not, you know, make, don't cater to what they And that, I was terrible at that, by the way. And I gave them individualized care even in that way. But one of my kids ate the same thing every single day, for day. And I was so worried about that. And I remember going to his pediatrician and telling him, and he looked at me and said, okay, so you're worried about your kid who's in the 98th percentile because of And I was like, thank you. Yes. But really, I needed that, like, oh, yeah, that's really true.
That was like, even, like, the first journey for me with her. Like, I was like, I'm going to breastfeed. It's going to be great. And then I was, like, really struggling, and she, like, was under birth weight at her first appointment. And he was like, you're just going to need to supplement with formula. Like, give her what you can give her.
Yeah.
And then supplement with formula. And I remember crying afterwards. And he was like, fed is best.
Yes.
Like, they need to be fed. It doesn't matter how you feel. Like, they just need to be fed. And I was like, that was such a relief off of me because I always was like, I'm just going to exclusively breastfeed for like however long I can. And then like by 4 months came around and we started introducing solid foods. And then by 9 months, I wasn't producing like anything mm-hmm. anymore. And he's like, she's eating solid foods. She's yeah. fine. Like, it is okay to let go of that stress and that pressure. Like, fed is best yeah. once mm-hmm. again. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's all a learning process, yes. and I don't think we'll ever arrive. I talk to my mom all the uh-uh. time now, and she's obviously like a mother and a grandmother, yeah. and, you know, her children are adults, and we have kids that are turning into adults ourselves, yeah. you know, at this point in time. And but we never arrive as parents. Like, even when I'm, you know, 90-something, God willing, like, yeah. and my kids are, you know, 70, whatever, you know, it. I still will have never parented a kid in that phase right. of life right. before. And so it's just a reminder to ourselves, I think, as from birthing process all the way through to whatever final days we have with anybody, that this is all the process of growth and learning and understanding that God has designed this beautiful process of life mm-hmm. as a reflection of eternity, too, mm-hmm. and what that looks like. So, yeah, just a little grace for the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I really like the discovery process, like what you said about we're discovering our children, not necessarily having to control and make yes. the decisions mm-hmm. for them. We're just discovering and then nurturing that discovery with them. So mm-hmm. that's really good. Well, thank you so much, Julia, for joining
Thanks
us.
For having me.
I feel like
so
I am
fun.
Now prepared to have my
I know.
Second.
Do you feel like you can take yeah. a big deep breath?
I feel like I'm so relaxed.
So fun. This is great.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to Diary of the Mom Squad. Tune in next time for more stories, more laughter, and the reminder that we always need more Jesus. You got this, Mom.